If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. And
yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who is the entity haunting a house that paralyzes people in their sleep in their waking hours?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Of course, if you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, please become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. When you do just that, get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. You get our advanced episodes weeks before the release to the public, all commercial free, our full back archive of episodes, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories in history. You get that when you sign up at either ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. And what's going on in your world today?
Well, Tony, I almost didn't know if I'd be able to do this episode tonight, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I have a cat who was sound asleep on my lap, and I think you know that when your cat's so sound asleep on your lap, like you can't move. It was so adorable. I'm like, I'm going to call Tony and be like, I can't do this tonight. There's a cat on my lap who is sound asleep.
Sounds like a valid excuse. Yeah.
So I actually made her get up.
Oh my
God. Just so you know, with this whole pandemic, I've turned into that person.
Not going to a job because of the cat.
I've turned into the crazy cat lady.
Yes.
Even though I've always been known my whole life as a dog person, I love cats.
Yeah.
And I have a 20-year-old cat. He's almost 20.
Yeah.
But like tonight, I'm like, I'm telling my cat, like, oh, I really hate to do this. I'm apologizing in advance.
You
are so snuggled up and so cute, but I have to make you get up.
You can't usually like lift them and move them when it's like they'll be like, yeah, all right, I'm getting up, and they're gone, you know?
And then I move her, and she's like, oh, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
So, but just know that it was everything I could do, but I did it for you. I did it for the show.
Well, I think that is pretty amazing. And
crazy cat lady
moments. We should have like a little jingle. I just have it. I compress it whenever we need it. It's like the bunk bed bell, but it's a crazy cat lady moment.
And you can do the dog one also, because I'm that person as well.
Yes. We'll have two separate ones, one for either of the species. Let's go to our first letter of the day.
I seriously turned down a trip recently because I'm like, my dog is too old. I'm sorry, I can't go.
Well, that's understandable.
A free vacation.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I get that one. That makes sense.
Thanks.
You got to pass on that. Here we go. First one, it says, my husband and I were married on August 11th of 1990. Unfortunately, his dad was not there to share in our union with us. I'd never met him or seen a picture of him before. However, my husband would talk about him from time to time and about the good time and some of the bad times. He loved his dad very much. And later he found out something that would really shake his world. And I'll tell you after I tell you the story. My husband and his dad had a close relationship. His mother and his dad were married after she was married to his brother. He picked her up after a particularly horrible fight, and they were married soon after. Soon after they were married, my husband was born. They had a wonderful relationship, his mother and father at that time. My husband's brothers were born a few years later. Soon after that is when something changed between his mother and his father. When my husband was a teenager, his father had told him that he might be leaving to ask him if he wanted to stay with his mother or come with him. My husband was quick to reply that he would go with his father, but he never left and stayed with his mother until his death. Chuck was guilty that he never was there when his dad died, but never really talked about it very much. After we were married, we bought a house down the street from his mother's house. She babysit from time to time, and I've always been sensitive from when I was a small child, but never understood the things I felt or saw. Always shrugged it off as a weird happening. I'd feel like something was watching me, or feel like someone was in the room with me. But never thinking about the paranormal or that there was such a thing, I dismissed it or put my head under the covers, scared to death. And believe me, the more I think about it, the more I feel that someone was there. Anyway, back to the story. In our new house, well new to us, I always felt that there was something there. There are always different feelings, like not the same energy or spirit. I now know they were spirits. I used to dream a lot, dreams that would come true, but that's another story. I was also terrorized by demons holding me down in bed and paralyzing me. I could not scream. I could not move. It was terrifying. But I'd never say anything because I think that people would think I was crazy. I've seen several entities in this house, and I do feel entities at times around the house. I feel like it's a portal. One of these days, I'll tell you about what I think is a succubus that my husband says interacts with him. It's a story for another time. She's the one that has stayed the longest. Anyway, one night I was in bed and I felt something was in the room. This room, I felt, is one of the most active rooms that we have in the house. We have a small house, 2 bedrooms, 1 bath. There's an extra add-on in that back room that I believe is the next most active room. As I was lying in bed feeling something was there, I got brave because something told me I needed to look. As I peeked out from under my covers, I saw at the edge of my bed a man. He was overweight, tall, and was looking straight at me. I was calmed, knowing that my husband's dad had come to see me, to see that his son was doing well and who he was married to. I don't know why he was not there at the wedding or why it took him so long to come and see me, but it was a few years after we were married. I cannot tell how long because it was years ago, but it was a while. I told my husband that his father had come to see me, and he asked me how I knew it was his father. I told him that I just knew. He told me that it was impossible as I had never seen or met him or seen a picture of him, but I told him that I just knew it was him. Later down the line, my mother-in-law gave my husband a photograph album. It had pictures of my husband's father. When he showed me the album, he said that his father was in there and he wanted me to pick out his father in the album. So I was looking at the album and stopped at a picture of a man. I told my husband that was the man I saw at the edge of our bed. He looked at me, the expression amazed, and stated, "That's my father." To this day, I can still vividly see his father standing at my bed. One of the most amazing paranormal experiences I've ever had that left a positive effect on me. I love your show. Become an EPP member last month. I'd love to hear this on your podcast. And if you want, I'll write in with more stories. Thank you for what you do. I'm thankful that I found a place where I can hear stories that are like mine. I must write about the time my boyfriend at the time was possessed. What happened before and after the possession that really showed me that there really are spirits out there. Stay safe. Thank you. That's a good one. What are your thoughts?
What the hell with a boyfriend that was possessed?
Hey, that's for another time.
I'm glad that she wrote in the positive one first.
Yeah.
And that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the possessed boyfriend, actually, I might have dated him. Okay, so I think like there's no timeline once you die. So it's not like they have this timeline of when it works for you. Like it's been 2 weeks. He's been gone. He should have visited me by now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it could happen at any time.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that she looked and saw him and she wasn't scared, because normally you'd see that and you'd be terrified.
Well, I mean, how many stories do you hear about where, you know, the individual, they never saw the ghost of their loved one for many, many years, and they lived on for 20, 30 more years.
Yeah.
And then right very close to death, they started getting the visits from that loved one that had passed away all those years ago. But it's more so the timing is towards the end, not, you know, immediately after.
Yeah. So that's why, like, if someone will say something, you know, like, because a lot of times when someone dies, you want that connection.
Uh-huh.
And especially people like us who are into this sort of stuff. So you want that connection. But there's no timeline when you die. Mm-hmm. Like, I would think time doesn't really exist.
Sure.
And where you got to go. If, you know, if you have kids and you want to make sure your kids grow or their kids grow and you kind of want to be sort of that guardian type of person, time doesn't matter. That's the way I look at it. And then what is a succubus? I can't even say that with a straight face because it sounds really nasty.
Isn't it the ghost that has sex with the people? I think that's what it is.
Oh, God. That is gross.
I'm not. Let's do a fun little. I'll give you the Wikipedia. Succubus. I'm gonna get on some sort of list. Wait till we're all. I start seeing.
I don't know if I really want this on my brain before I go to bed.
Here we go. A succubus. I was looking for some good corny music. I don't think I have any on file. Damn. All right. A succubus is a demon or supernatural entity in folklore. A female form that appears in dreams to seduce men, usually through sexual activity. According to religious traditions, repeated sexual activity with a succubus can cause poor physical or mental health, even death. In modern representations, a succubus is often depicted as a beautiful seductress or enhancedress, rather than a demonic or frightening character. A male counterpart to the succubus is the incubus. But that's for another episode.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I was like, could there be a lesbian succubus? Like,
I guess.
That'd be kind of weird, right?
Sure.
It's like, are you a lesbian succubus? Or could there be a gay incubus?
I would think so. I mean, I would think that if it's something that's, you know, trying to seduce whoever it would be, they would tailor it to the preference of the individual.
Right. And then my succubus would be like, have to sit down and explain something weird. Like,
yeah,
I've always thought I was a man. And so I'm going to start presenting as a man.
That could get interesting.
I was born a succubus. I'm transitioning.
This is like way more info
with
than we needed.
All respect to my transgender friends, because I have transgender friends.
Sure. Yes.
I have transgender family members. But that I never had heard that. I think I've heard that before. I just didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm. The more you know.
I
think Matt Lauer did that one, actually, back in the day. Like, hi, it's Matt Lauer from the Today Show. Have you ever had an intimate moment with a succubus? It's quite a night. The more you know.
Maybe Matt Lauer did, and then that's what made him kind of go crazy and everything.
But first.
Make all the bad choices he made.
But first, this is Today on NBC. I've never understood that. Like,
but first, not like you're watching, or I mean, even saying that you're watching the Today Show, which is stupid. I know I'm watching the Today Show.
I mean, it's like, I mean, I get it. It's like such a thing on there now. Like, it'd be weird if they didn't do it. But I don't even get like why it started. And I know, like, we were taught in media, you know, ID, 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 and it's TV doing the same thing. But at the same point, it's like such a dated thing to have to do that way, because it's already ID'd 50 other ways on screen.
Because I was listening, I listen to NPR a lot, and the local station here, the guy says all the time, it's Tuesday. Like, he'll say that like 3 or 4 times in the morning. I'm like, does anybody ever go, what? It's Tuesday? I didn't know that. Or it's Friday. What is Friday? I'm like, why do you have to remind people what day it is? Because if they really don't know what day it is,
you know what?
They got bigger problems.
No, I'll say this. I'll say this. In defense of that, prior to COVID, yes, completely agree. I think it was outdated and I think it didn't need to be done. During COVID, Oh, there's been plenty of days I had no idea what day it was. I knew it wasn't the weekend is all I knew. I'm like, Tuesday, Thursday, I don't remember. So I think there's it has reemerged as having a place on the air where it almost faded away. And then, boom, now there's a reason for it. But
now I can bring back. It's 8:10, 10 after the hour.
Yes.
Like
three different ways.
I need to know that. It's 8:10. What does he mean?
Time
it's 10
temp.
After the hour. Oh,
every 7 minutes.
I get it.
Yep.
It's 10 past.
And when you're wondering why the radio person did that or does that, it's because there's a boss in a room down the hall that's really not that great on the air, that is directing every single human being in that building how to be good on the air. And,
exactly.
And you're just like, how the hell does this work like that? Like, oh, they're good with corp. Oh, okay. I get it. That's how I a lot of mine were. I had some great ones. I really did. But there are some that were just, that's what it was.
Exactly.
Let's go over to a caller. Let's hear your ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Alyssa. I'm from Connecticut. My whole life, I lived in Rhode Island until just the past 5 or 6 years. To give a little background, my dad and his brother, their parents, lived in Rhode Island, and the neighborhood that they lived in didn't have a lot of houses yet. They were, when he was a child, one of the first houses to go up in the neighborhood and the house in front of them. So both, like, my dad was having dreams that there was this demon that was always in the attic at the house across the street. They had a window, and in his dream, he would see this demon, and sometimes the demon would come to him and hold him down in his bed, but it was always in dreams. They had a couple experiences. They would go over the house and hang out with the other kid that was there, and doors would slam, and it was creepy to be over there, so they wouldn't go over there. But he constantly had this reoccurring dream. Well, when he was older, he went to see a psychic, and she explained that this demon was real, and this demon is attached to him. So he told this to his brother, and his brother explained that he had all the same dreams throughout his whole childhood, too. The two of them were both dreaming about this demon. So my uncle does not like ghosts whatsoever. He kind of avoids it altogether. He wants nothing to do with it. It scares the ever-living shit out of him. And we play on that. You know, we joke around with him. It's okay. So with this thing attached to my father, we were all experiencing it. So we had a home in Warwick where we were just renting a home. And once in a while, we'd be sitting down watching TV, and the kitchen and the living room were attached by an open doorway. And from the kitchen, there was a long hallway where our bedrooms were. My bedroom was the first one on the right. I would have a basketball on the top shelf in my closet. We would be watching TV. The basketball would come out of the closet. The closet door was shut because this would happen often. I would shut the closet door. The door would open, the basketball would come out, it would roll out of my room, down the hallway, and past that open doorway so we could see it go by us in the living room. And it would scare us all the time. We would have candles lit in the living room, and the flame would just go completely horizontal, just completely flat horizontal, like. And it would just stay that way. It wasn't like a breeze, someone got up. You would watch it for several seconds and just stay. So little things like that. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was a little girl in a white gown. Of course, they're always in a white gown. Standing in front of my bureau, staring at me. I remember running to my mom and telling her that this happened because I was scared and I couldn't sleep. Because, of course, I screamed and ran. Now, I would sneak into my brother's room all the time when we would play video games. So my dad would see, I had a white nightgown. So my dad would see me run into my brother's room And he would run in there and, you better go to bed, you're going to get in trouble, blah, blah, blah. Me and my brother were like best friends. And even if I didn't play, I would just watch him play. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But there was one night that my dad heard running down the hallway. So he looks out his doorway and he sees me run into my brother's room. So he yells at me. And he goes into my brother's room to tell me to go back into my room to go back to bed. And my brother's sleeping and I'm nowhere to be found. So he goes into my room and I'm sleeping on my stomach and my cat is sleeping on my back. My cat was a constant protector of mine. She was my guardian. She would watch over me. So I'm assuming that's probably why the little girl ran out of my room and ran into my brother's room. We knew things were happening. They were starting to happen fast. So my mom decided to do a seance. She brought my cousin over. We shut off all electricity in the house. We put up all candles. We did not use salt. We did not do any protection beforehand. I was only like 8 or 9 years old, not even. So I didn't know any better. But we did the seance, and mid prayer that we were saying, we started hearing music. My cousin started flipping out because she thought we were just messing with her, and we weren't. We were seriously trying to get rid of this spirit. And my father actually had to take her downstairs to show her, because that's where the music was coming from, that there's nothing playing. And by the time they got halfway down the stairs, the music stopped playing. The dog turned around and ran into the bedroom. He wanted nothing to do with the basement. He refused to go down there. My dad couldn't get him to go down there with him. Every time I went in the basement, it was the full length of the house. The house was more long than it was wide. So the other half of the basement from the steps was always dark, and I would never go over there. I wouldn't turn the light on over there. I would stay right at the steps and run right upstairs. There was something wrong about that basement. I didn't like it. I was very uncomfortable. It was right below our bedroom. Well, so then we ended up losing the house and we moved. And the house that we moved into didn't have anything happen with it, but you would hear steps. You would hear people running up and down the steps. But other than that, nothing really happened. So then we ended up moving again, and we moved back to Rhode Island because we were in Connecticut. And in Rhode Island, this house, it was a 3-bedroom house, one was for my parents, one for me, and then one was a computer room. So my room was a little small, and it had a closet that was just kind of creepy. I don't like the closet. The closet was in the wall between my bedroom and my parents' bedroom. And there were times at night that I felt like if I moved, I was going to be in a lot of trouble. Like, I was frozen. I was scared shitless. I, like any normal kid, would put the covers over my head and just sit there and pray and pray and pray and pray and just ask for my uncle to watch over me, ask my grandpa to watch over me, somebody help me because I'm stuck and I wouldn't be able to move. And I was so scared and literally shaking. And then I would stay up and play video games because I couldn't sleep, and I'd see shadows out of the corner of my eye all the time. And there were so many stupid little experiences which made me feel icky. And like, my parents wouldn't feel it, but I did. This thing's attached to my father, but it was attacking me. And then one day we had my uncle come over with his twin sons, and we were hanging out in my room because they wanted to see my room because I have a bunch of pretty stuff in there. And they asked me my middle name, and I said, my middle name is Mary. And they said, oh, so what's Tony's middle name? I said, who's Tony? And they said, Tony, the man right there. He lives in your closet. When he said that, when they said that, I got so scared. I told them, get the hell out of my room. you're not coming in here anymore. And I told my parents they need to go home and I need to leave. I need to get out of here. I can't stay here. And I left. I just left. I ended up moving out not too long after that. And the only experiences I've had now is because I talked to a psychic and she told me how I was an empath, how I was a psychic, and I could be more powerful than she is. So I started trying to hone in on that ability and meditate. Well, that opens up the door for everything. You need to do your research before you start doing things like this. Well, I didn't really. I mean, I did some, but not enough to be like, yeah, all right, I'm scared. Nope, I just did what I wanted. I started meditating every day, and within a week, I was sitting on my bed, and I was just taking a nap because I was just so exhausted out of nowhere. And when lying on the bed, I could feel someone lie down next to me. And I'm like, did I fall asleep? And my boyfriend, my fiance's already home? Like, what? And I turn and there's no one there. But you can see the blankets have been moved around because I need the bed and I was only sleeping on my half. I'm like, okay. So I put my head back down, close my eyes, try to go back to sleep, and I feel it lift up. And then I feel weight on top of me, and I couldn't move. I was frozen stiff. The weight of it, I couldn't move my arms, I couldn't move my legs. It was like they were laying on top of me in the same exact position that I was laying, so they could cover every inch of my body and force me to stay still. And there was nothing I could do about it. And then it just went away. It just stopped. Needless to say, I didn't go back to sleep. I don't think anyone could after that. But there's something that follows my father, and once in a while, I feel it too. My father tried to do a paranormal investigation, tried to be a paranormal investigator for a YouTube series, and I don't remember the name of it. But he would always make jokes when we would go by graveyards. He'd be like, oh, hey, guys, follow us home. Like, as a joke, my mom would freak out and yell at him, what are you thinking? Are you stupid? Like, you just welcomed them to follow us. They're going to follow us. And he didn't get it. So he would make those kind of jokes, and they would do their paranormal investigating because, you know, it's funny for the TV series. Until one day, my father did paranormal investigations, and one night he woke up to a man with a cowboy hat standing in his bedroom doorway, and he instantly hopped right out of bed and chased after him, thinking it was an intruder. So that house had terrible heat, and at the top of the steps, we had a sheet hanging to keep the heat, keep some of the heat downstairs. And he ran out of the bedroom, and when he flipped over the sheet, the man was gone. So the bedroom was right at the top of the steps. So when he turned the sheet, he should have at least seen the man at the corner of the steps, you know, turning, going down the rest of them. He should have been able to see them, and he didn't. He was gone. He said he didn't hear him run down the steps. He didn't hear him run in the hallway. He was completely silent. And when he turned the sheet, the guy was gone. My entire family, including my brother, who tends to ignore everything anyways, has had a lot of experiences with paranormal, and we've been told by many people that we all have the ability to hone in on that and really open up for things if we wanted to, and God, I would love to so much, but it's a little scary. It's a little scary, but I don't know. Maybe I'll do it and I'll be able to call you guys and block up your voicemail, give you a ton of messages again because they always get cut off. I have too much to say. Well, thank you so much for listening. I hope you use this and share it. It's kind of exciting. And I support your show. I love you guys. You're fantastic to listen to in the morning in the shower and get creeped out by myself in the house. I love you guys. Keep on keeping on.
I think that would be a fun sweeper right there in the days of radio, where it's like, you guys are so fun to listen to in the shower in the morning. You creeped out. Today's best variety of continuous ghost stories.
Yeah.
Real ghost stories.
All
online.
Your favorite ghost stories.
From the 70s, 80s, and today.
Yeah. And sometimes 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Exactly. I know.
You know, there was a lot to unpack in that story.
Yeah.
Not to question her parents' parenting skills, but I thought the part about the mom having the seance and turning off the electricity, yet leaving all her children to be at the seance as well, was kind of reckless.
You think?
A little bit. And maybe as an adult, she looks bad. But, you know, her mom might have just been kind of that mom. I don't know.
At that, it could have been a 20-some-year-old mom. And at that point in time, it was kind of, you know, not looked at as that at that moment of that being reckless. Today, but, you know, place and time.
You know, I don't know how old she is.
Sure.
But to me, that's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have a seance. Kids?
Seance time.
Stop electricity. Here we go.
Here we go.
But I have to wonder too, like, obviously it's something her whole family can pick up on. Mm-hmm. I really wonder though, if she, cause she said at one point that whatever was haunting, I don't know if that's the right word. Her father was also doing the same with her.
Yeah.
But I think it could be other things she's experiencing, you know, because if she is open to that, and she obviously is, mm-hmm. I think she could have her own.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they moved houses, yet all this things are happening. And it's like, you know, she's seen a little girl. She's seen other things. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I don't know that it's just that it could be just that one.
Yeah.
Could be other things going on. But when she started talking to the psychic, and then the psychic's like, you have these abilities too. And I was like, oh, she better be careful with that. Mm-hmm. And then she wasn't careful with that, because I think you got to kind of, I don't understand how people open themselves up to that. I don't see how people do paranormal investigations or any of that.
Sure.
I'd be like, absolutely not. I'm going to go have a beer and hang out while y'all do that. And there's no way. Like, I'm fascinated by old houses and castles and mm-hmm. churches. And like, I love going and, you know, like go to Europe and going to a cathedral built in the 1600s. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to be in there at night by myself.
No, I just, when she was saying that part of the story, it was running through my mind of, well, this could be an absolutely horrible, website or television show or web series where it's called Fucking with the Dead. And this, I think this would be horrible. I think I would not condone it, but I'd be very curious about the results that one would get. If it was someone who really had the outlook of they don't believe any of it, and to them, none of it's real. And they do things like she was describing that her dad was doing, where it's like, yeah, come on home, guys, or, you know, taunting, but I think even to a more extreme level, you're bringing objects into a house and there's cameras all over the house and you're staying there and you are doing everything you actively can to taunt the dead. Maybe the house is like in front of a cemetery or something. And they're just going at it in such crazy ways. And then you can monitor it like 24/7 online to like look at all the cameras and see if anything weird happens. You know, because you'd have to have it done, though, by people who didn't believe it was possible for anything to happen with it. And I think it'd be horrible, and I do not condone that sort of behavior or any sort of investigation tactics like that. But it just came to mind where she said how he was kind of, you know, luring them on. I do not like that idea. But again, I think that's why you do see it on some of those shows where they do kind of taunt. Because, you know, it draws people in. Not saying that it's good, but that's, you know, it is what it is.
Well, and just opening yourself up to it when you're not even really knowing what you're opening yourself up to.
That's the thing.
You know, I think that's very reckless.
It is. I'm just wondering, who would it affect more? The person who fully believes in all of this that's doing it, or the person who's just like, this is all BS and they're not doing it? Because then you have to get into that area of, well, the more you believe in something, the more it would affect you. And I don't know, not saying anyone should try this, but I would just, if there were no rules to a social experiment with the dead, that would be an interesting one. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP as we call them. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus stuff, all the ebook, audiobook. It's all there for you. New stuff every single week, and you help keep the show on the air. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.